sharing something that the Lord really was putting in my heart about how to weather these storms. And again, we are living, when I say we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You understand that. And the world is saying our nation is living in a time of uncertainty. There is a climate being produced for fear. There's a climate in our nation being produced for uncertainty. There's uncertainty about the political situation. There's uncertainty about our economy situation, and so on and so forth. But, you know, when the world says there's going to be a recession, now, what is your response going to be? It may be in the nation, it may be in the world, but in my house, we refuse to participate. We're not going to participate in recession and depression in our house. Amen. World want to do it? Let them do it. We ain't doing it. Amen. Why? We know better.
Amen.
We know better. Now, how do we escape, if that's a good word I could use, how do we, if you will, keep the fallout or this climate from affecting you and I as believers in Jesus Christ? Now, the sad part, most Christians don't get involved in something or begin to participate until things start caving in on them. And we don't want to wait till things get so bad that we can't stand it before we stand up and take a stand. Are you with me? And so I'm trying to show you some things that there's, if you'll listen to what I'm teaching you and what I'm sharing with you, you can withstand any storm that comes, any kind of climate, any kind of anything that would come to steal, kill, and destroy. You have to get yourself into the place where you come back and realize that in God's kingdom, you are in a perfect place.
Amen.
Why would you get uptight about the economy when it's God who made the money? He made the gold and the silver. He owns all of it. All the cattle on 1,000 hills. Like that old farmer said, and all the taters under the hills. Amen? So why should you and I get uptight, lose our peace? Now what are we commanded to do when these trials come? James 1 says that we are to count it all joy when we fall into the different trials, the testings, and the temptations that come upon the earth, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience, so that we can receive the promises of God. Because everything you and I receive now is by grace through faith. Right? By grace through faith. And I had you start over here with me in the Gospel of Luke, because Jesus is the one we look to bail us out of any situation. Quit looking for somebody to give you a hand out. Jesus has already extended His hand. You get in the Word of God and you'll find out that God never intended for anybody to loan money to the poor. You won't find it. Well, that's another story. Got your attention now. You know why? because you become in bondage to that system. They get you to sign your name on the dotted line to something that you can't pay for. And then they rape you through interest until they get their profit.
Amen.
And then you're stuck with something. Your help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Why do you want to go back into Egypt and bow your knee to the Babylonian system? Sure getting quiet now in this Full Gospel Presbyterian Church. Now Jesus teaches us some things here. How to make it through anything. So yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand, man. Everything I've got is just went down. My 401k is now 401z. It's my car won't start, and I gave away the one that got the best mileage, and now I'm stuck with the one that costs the most per month to pay, and I'm in a terrible fix. But what I'm telling you and what I'm showing you, that if you can do these things, you can get out of any situation. You can get out of any circumstance. Now, there was a lady in this passage of Scripture, remember from last week, who came to Jesus because she heard who Jesus was. How many of you have heard who Jesus was and who He is? He was sent by God, anointed by God to preach. He was a preacher, remember? The people of that day saw Him as a preacher anointed by God. And if they could get in that atmosphere, get in that climate, then they could receive the miracle power of God. Whether it be healing, deliverance, eyesight, deaf ears, whatever it was, even finances. If we can get in the climate or the atmosphere of the realm of the Holy Spirit of God, then all things are possible. Everything that is in the... Thank you. Everything that is in the natural. Yeah. So every once in a while somebody, I got it. And that thrills me when somebody gets it. Alright? Now, let's drop on down here to verse 49. It says, while He was still speaking. I'm in Luke chapter 8, verse 48. Y'all have to forgive me. I'm already into next week. He said, daughter, be of good cheer. Now, isn't that the same thing James said? When you are facing things, He said, be of good cheer. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when there's joy in your life, instead of turmoil and depression and all the other stresses of life, then you've got strength to stand against anything that the devil throws at you. Be of good cheer. Count it all joy when you fall. Hallelujah. All right, now look. He said, your faith has made you whole. Or we saw that is the word shalom, where nothing is incomplete in that person's life. Not only did she get her healing of the issue of blood, but she was prospered, because that's what the definition of wholeness is. To be whole in every area of your life. God has given us how many things? All things pertaining to what? Life and godliness. But it's pertaining to everything we need in the realm of the spirit. Everything we need in the realm of the natural life. God doesn't want you to come behind in any good thing. Okay? Now, mind. It says, while He was still speaking, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to Him, Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. And when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid. Only believe. And she will be made whole. Now here's the first step. You have to make sure that you have no fear in your life of anything. Amen. You have to make sure that you are operating in this present, right now life without any kind of fear. Because fear of any kind will put you into bondage. Now, he's listening. Jesus speaking. The woman's come. She's received. They're on their way to Jairus' house. The bad news comes. Anybody ever had bad news? You know why? Because the bad news comes to challenge your faith. To get you over into a place where you doubt what God has said. To get you into the yeah, but. The yeah, but. I know God, yeah, but. Well, you got to get beyond your yeah, buts. And get yourself into a place where it's better, listen to me, that you shut your mouth. He said, fear not, only believe. I'm going to tell you something. Until you mature in the Word, you'll be a lot better off to shut your mouth. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying this. When you open your mouth, you will either contaminate, pollute your faith, or your faith will carry with it a corresponding action. You're going to speak what? Death, or you're going to speak life? And if you don't know how to speak life, it'd be better for you to zip it up. Amen. Yeah, but Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, I know that, so just shut up. You don't know anything else to say, so just shut up. And just turn it over to Jesus. Yes. Just do like Jairus. This is a lesson that Jesus was saying. He was saying, fear not, only believe. You don't have to say anything else. Did Jesus come to heal? Did Jesus come to deliver? Did Jesus come to set captives free? Did Jesus come to heal the blind eyes, open up deaf ears? Did Jesus come to save your family, your sons, your daughters? If you don't know anything else but that, just shut up till you get the Word of God on the inside of you. That you don't allow any form, in any shape, or any fashion speak fear. Amen. Jesus taught if you're going to receive, you're going to have to believe. Amen. And if you're going to believe, you're going to have to use faith. Amen. I said you're going to have to use faith. Now, what did he do? Well, when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John. What was he doing? He was ridding the house of all the doubt and the unbelief. Sometimes you need a miracle and you need something from God now. You're going to have to get Uncle Jose and Tia Maria and all the other aunts and the uncles and the doubt and the unbelief and say, afraid of, in the name of Jesus, turn your house over to God. Yeah. You say, yeah, but you say, but Pastor, I not hurt their feelings. Well, you want your miracle? You want your healing? Then get the doubt and the unbelief, turn your house. When we go along, turn our house over to Jesus. It's like we pray a while ago, turn our nation over to Jesus. Turn our nation back to God. ungodly politicians trying to take over the work of God. And some of them would like to set themselves up as God. Thank God they're not God.
Amen.
I said, thank God. They were God, we'd all go to hell.
Amen.
Well, it'd be the same thing if I was God. We'd all be going to hell. Thank God God's God. Amen.
Amen.
Are y'all here?
Yes.
Okay. So, he had to get all of the doubt, all of the unbelief out of the house. Jairus turned the need that he had over to Jesus. And he was smart enough to let Jesus do it.
Amen.
He was smart enough not to say, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Did you hear Jesus? My servant, my right-hand man just came and told me she's dead. And don't you see him going back over there? Hello? Say, zip it up.
Zip it up.
I'm telling you, the first lesson you need to learn until you can learn to speak the Word of God is to shut your mouth. Fear not, only believe. Now, I know your relatives are going to call you everything. El Waco, Holy Roller, Fanatics, you don't like us. But when they get in trouble, they remember for some reason who to call. When they get in a bind, especially if they need money, you can bet they will be knocking on your door. Are you with me? And he had to get rid of all, if you read on down there, he had to get rid. He said, don't weep. He had to, don't weep. She's not dead. She's sleeping. They ridiculed him, verse 53, knowing that she was dead. See, they knew what the natural looked like. But I'm telling you, God is not moved by what the natural looks like. God is not moved by circumstances. God is only moved by His Word. Amen. And if you want to move the hand of God, then you move it by faith in the Word of God. Well, He put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called her and said, little girl, arise. And you know the rest of the story. She arose and said, hey, I'm hungry. Let's eat. And all the family didn't think they were so weird after that. When they see the manifestation and the power of God working in your life. So Jesus, who is the commander and the very high priest of our profession, our confession, is said, fear not. And what do we say? Just lost 98% of you. Fear not! Who said it? Fear not! Yes, sir. Fear not!
Only believe.
No? Fear not!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Only believe.
Fear not!
Yes, sir. Only believe.
You know why it gets weak with you? Because you're not sure of the will of God. Faith begins when you know the will of God. Amen. Now, let's go over here to the book of Hebrews. We'll just go as far as we can go here. The first thing is to fear not. And we say,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Y'all are sure sister weak faith this morning. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, let's look at something here. Where does fear and how does fear get into our life? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He said, "Insomuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," now this is talking about Jesus, "likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Now look at this closely, because it says that he himself became partaker of flesh and blood. Now whenever you see flesh and blood in the same sentence or talking about Jesus, it's talking about the cross. Because Jesus came to the earth in a human format, if you will, who took on himself flesh and blood. So flesh and blood is always referring to the cross. The cross is where Jesus shed his blood, right? Where Jesus was emptied of his blood, because that was for the sacrifice or for the remission or the doing away of our sin. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's what it's talking about there. And Jesus had to hang on the cross, shed his blood, and die. Now think about this just a moment. Jesus in his present day, in this day, does not have flesh and blood. He does have flesh and bone, because when he appeared after the resurrection, the disciples thought he was a ghost. And he said, "Touch me, handle me." A ghost does not have flesh and bone. Now he didn't say flesh and blood, because he took his blood after it was shed at the cross of Calvary and presented it into the heavenly holy of holies on the mercy seat of God, which is accessible to everyone who will believe and call on the name of Jesus. Because that's what washes us and that's what cleanses us. Now Jesus has veins, but there's no blood in his veins. It's the glory of God. Are you with me? Okay. So, he was, the Bible says, let me read this one more time to you so you see this, because I'm trying to make a point to you that every time you allow fear to come and to be in your life, you have polluted, you have diluted, and you have contaminated your faith. Amen. He said, through death, he might destroy. That word destroy there means to completely, totally annihilate, to paralyze, to render powerless. Him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Look at verse 15 closely. And release, say release. Now he's talking about you and I. This is where we come in. Those who through fear of death were all their time, their lifetime, subject to bondage. The fear of death, let me just say this to you a moment. The fear of death is the master of all fear. It is the master key. You know what a master key, when you turn like your ignition key on, it powers up all the dash and all the instruments. And everything else is ready to take off from that. Everything began with the spirit of fear and being in bondage to that fear through fear of death. Amen. As a Christian, if we allow ourselves even to get in to the fear of death, we will be in bondage to that fear. Now listen to me closely. There is, don't hold me to this, but the Jewish scholars and writers of the Torah, there is 900, I believe 900 in 87 ways that a man can die. And 986 are not good.
Wow.
There's only one that's good, and that's just like Enoch and Moses, where you've finished your purpose, finished the plan, you're just walking with God and poof! Yeah! It's called they call it the kiss of the Father. Or the kiss of God. Yeah, yeah. In other words, no pain. No, you go. Because that's what I'm thinking about. There is a lot of ways to die. And those ways of death is what produces fear. And when there's fear in your life, you're in bondage to that fear. And when you're in fear, your faith is not working.
Amen.
Think about it. You think about the first death recorded in the Bible was a murder. Right? Cain killed his brother Abel, committed a murder, and that is what instituted the spirit of fear into the earth. One human being afraid of another human being or what that human being could or can do to him. All fear stems and gets its original roots in the fear of death. Now, you've been delivered from the fear of death, and you have been delivered from every other fear. Every fear gets its roots in that fear of death. Think about it. There's a lot of ways to die. There's way like starvation, suffocation, poverty. Poverty gets its roots. You know what the definition of poverty is? Afraid of not having enough. That's where a lot of Christians are. They're afraid they're not going to have enough. They forget the principle of God. Most Christians, when they don't have enough, the first thing they cut off is God. Say, so how do they cut off God? They cut off Him in tithe and offering. And think they're going to get out of that bondage. You're never going to get out of bondage as long as there is fear in your life. Are you with me?
Amen.
Say this with me. Say, I have been
released
from the spirit of fear.
Fear
does not have dominion over me. I have authority over fear in Jesus' name. The richest man of the East in your Old Testament, in the book of Job. Now, if you don't read the book of Job correctly, you're going to think that God turned Job over to Satan. But that's because you don't know the Word. Job turned himself over to Satan even before he knew it. You know how he did? Because he was worried. He had fear. He said, the very things that I fear will come upon me. And do you realize that fear is what destroyed his family? He thought the right thing to do was to worry about his kids. And his worry and his fear for his children got his children killed. Now that's pretty blunt, but I don't have a lot of time. See, you think the best thing you can do is worry about your kids. Never ever tell your kids, oh, don't go out there and play in the street. I'm afraid you'll get run over. Don't ever let them hear that word come out of your mouth. You have not been called of God to be afraid of anything. You don't teach your children. Don't pass down the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear resides on the inside of the heart of an unbeliever because they have not been empowered or made the connection to Jesus, and so the spirit of fear is in their hearts. Well, how does the spirit of fear get into the believer? Through their mind. Through their mind. Through allowing something that you see, something that you hear, or something that has been done to you, it becomes a stronghold in your mind, and because you do not know how to take authority over that thought, over that whatever it may be, it has put you in bondage to the fear. Amen. And whenever you're in bondage to the fear, because the spirit of faith releases faith. Amen. The spirit of fear activates fear. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, over in 1 John, and we'll just have to... Yeah. Did you hear what I said? I said, you have to first of all, fear not. Say fear not.
Fear not.
Only believe.
Only believe.
You know why? Because fear is a motivator. Fear will motivate people to get deeper and deeper into their troubles. It's designed not only to make you afraid, but to get you to challenge or challenge the Word of God on the inside of you. You're saying that God is not able. You worry about your children. You are saying that God is not able to protect your children. Do you understand you are in a covenant with God? Do you understand that covenant allows you to be protected by the hand of God? Not only to be blessed of God, and when you have an enemy in a covenant with God, then that enemy becomes an enemy of God. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures. You can write them down, look them up. John 17:23. This is where Jesus was praying. And here's what he said. He said, in essence, he said, Father, let them know, let the people know that just as you have loved me, you love them. Now, just a religious, casual reader of the Bible ain't going to catch that. Did you hear what Jesus said? Jesus said, reveal to them that you love them. You love Raymond Gonzalez as much as you love me. God, the Father who loved Jesus, loves me just as much as He loved Jesus. I am in a covenant with God. And you pick on me, you're picking on God. You come against me, you're coming against Jehovah God. Just like I'm in a covenant with my wife, when I stood up before a man of God and said, until death do us part, we became covenant in a partnership of one flesh in a marriage relationship, and you come against her, you're coming against me.
Yes.
Now I love you, but you come against her, I'll break your leg, and then I'll lay my hands on you and heal you. Amen. Love you all the way. Amen. Because that's what we're going to find out, see. That's what we're going to find out. That the fear... Well, let's read it, okay, because we're going to have to close. I promise we're going to have to close. 1 John... Are y'all okay? Okay. Let's read this, then we'll have to stop for the day. But how many know the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? Amen. And faith has to work by love. Okay, so we've got to fear. That's step one. We got to get all. Make sure there's no fear. Now, how do we get to fear it? Okay, look at 1 John, chapter 2, verse 5. 1 John, the little epistle of John, way back there in the back before the book of Revelation, not Revelations, Revelation. Page 1731. Now look, are y'all there? If you're still looking for it, you need help. Now, he who says, I'll read verse 4. No, let me go to verse 3 too. Now, I'm in chapter 2, 1 John. Not the Saint John, but little John. Same John, but... Man, y'all are hard this morning. Capítulo 2, versículo 3. All right. It says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Jesus said, fear not! And we say?
Yes, sir.
Now say it with some authority.
Yes, sir.
How does a military mindset, your commander comes to you and says, I want you to march to the mess hall double time. Do you
yes,
say,
sir.
Yes, sir, sir. Right? You don't say, you don't go, yes, sir. No. He slapped you upside the face, man. So here's the point. Jesus said, if you love Him, you will keep. This is how we know that you keep His command. He said, fear not.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now listen to me. Obviously, if Jesus tells you to do something, you have the ability to do it.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't know. Man. I was in a bad relationship. You don't understand what she did to me. There's no way I could ever, ever give my whole life to another woman again. I told you, first thing you need to do is learn to shut up. Shut that negative, ungodly words of death up. You're in the new army now. Amen. You got out of that old covenant because you couldn't stand it.
Hallelujah.
You ain't looking to go back in it, are you?
No.
All right, we got to finish. We got to finish. It says, now he who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a, y'all help me. Because the pastor, he called us a liar. No, I said, if you don't keep the commandments of God and you say you are a Christian, you are a believer, you're a liar.
Amen.
The truth is not in Him.
Amen.
But whoever keeps His word. Now here it is. Here's how you get rid of fear. Whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is what? The love of God is perfected in Him. What are we commanded to do? We are commanded to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our strength, with all of our might. Amen?
Amen.
God is numero uno. We have to put God before everything else in our life. He said, I will have no other God before me. And then Jesus came back and said, and the second is like the first, that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. This is my commandment, that you love one another. John said, I've wrote these things to you back in first one or chapter 1, that your joy can be full. There it is again. Because if you got joy, you got strength. If you got strength, you can stand in faith. If you can stand in faith, then the devil can do everything he can think of doing. He has already received a black eye. He's already received a bump on the side of his head. The same Spirit that raised Jesus is the same Jesus that lives on the inside of you. Right? I said, right? Okay. He said, whoever keeps His word, truly, the love of God is perfected in Him. By this we know that we are in Him, and he who says He abides in Him himself ought to walk just as He walked. How did He walk? He walked without fear. He walked in faith. When they tried to stone Jesus that day, He was the light of God. The Bible said He just went and hid Himself, disappeared and walked out from amongst them. How do you fight with somebody that just disappears? Now go over to chapter 4. It says there is. Now what is the word? What is, you want to get rid of fear today? Because you do realize that worry is a sin. Worry is just another form of fear. Worry and care is just another form of fear. All that is designed to challenge the Word and choke the Word out of your heart. How do you perfect the Word? By the Word. You've got to learn the Word. You've got to learn to respond to your adversary with the Word. You've got to learn to respond to the circumstance with the Word. You've got to respond to the problem with the Word. You've got to respond with the adversity with the Word. When the devil comes knocking on your door, you stand up and let the inside of you come to the outside and you declare, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The more of the Word that I get in me, the more I become perfected in the love of God. Because if I get out of the love of God, now listen to me, that's how I allow the spirit of fear to get back into my soul, back into my mind. And I let the spirit of fear get back into me. After I have been delivered from it and I have authority over it, then it puts me back in bondage to it. How many Christians today do you know are living in fear? Well, they're living in fear because they have not perfected the love of God. You perfect the love of God through the Word of God. And He says right here, there is no fear in love. You know why? Because God is love. Love is not some gooey, mushy, wooey feeling. God is love. When you allow the Word of God to come on the inside of you, and when the adversity and the storm squeezes you, man, the Word just gurgitates out of you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not fear what man will do to me, for the Lord is my helper. So, it says here, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, I can't get any more plainer. The Word can't get any more simpler. You have to get rid of the fear by getting yourself in the Word of God. Amen. You need to get Jesus in your house, in your home. Turn off the television. Turn off the trash. And get yourself locked up with the Word of God. Stand up with me. Say this with me. Say, I have authority over the spirit of fear. The love of God is inside of me. It's being perfected. That perfect love casteth out all fear. It doesn't caress it. It doesn't entertain it. It doesn't flirt with it. It takes authority over it. Takes authority over it. You're a believer, not a doubter. That's what we'll find out, because James went on to say a double-minded man is unstable. Double-minded means to have an alternative thought. Well, I know God's Word said that, yeah, but I know God promises, but yeah, but I told you, Zip it up. That's right. I mean, I'm just telling y'all the reality of why people are still in bondage to fear. Amen. You're a believer. You're not afraid of anything. Jesus delivered you from the spirit of fear. The bondage that fear produces. Why do you want to allow yourself to get back under that bondage? By having any kind of fear. You don't tell your children, oh, I'm afraid you're going to get hurt out there. Don't say that. And let me tell you something else, never tell your children. Don't ever tell them, son, daughter, we can't afford that. Don't tell them that. Because you're just saying, well, God's not big enough for us to have anything like that. I told you, shut up until you learn the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
How do Christians get something from God? Well, think about it. How do we as believers get something from God? You know, I hear somebody say, oh, I love my car. You don't love your car. Like that pretty lady steps on that cat and says, when you turn your car on, does it return the favor? Are y'all here?
Yes.
No. How do you get something from God? You have to get in faith. You have to sow. They want a bicycle? Tell them to go get a picture of one.
BMW.
A picture. Well, I ain't standing in your way. Because our God, listen, we think our God is a cheap El Cheapo. Listen to me. We measure by what we see. We think Jesus was poor. There wasn't nothing poor about Him. I bet you this. If one of us died today, there would be nobody in this valley that would get in a crap game over your clothes. Did I say that right?
Yes. Yes.
But you notice they did get in a game for Jesus' clothes.
Yes.
Now, if they had been old rags and work, you think anybody wanted His old clothes?
Nope.
No, they were. The Bible says seamless from the top to the bottom. Man, He wears a whole plate, a whole girdle of gold. Woo-hoo-hoo! And jasper around trim. Hey! His strength, I mean, see, I'm just telling you something. You want to teach your kids how to live by faith, then you're going to have to start living by faith. Quit saying things like, oh, I don't know, we can never do that. Oh, man. Because now you're judging God. Oh, praise the Lord. I got to stop. Y'all just pushed the wrong button this morning or something. I don't know. Come on, let's just lift our hands.